This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to the episode 88, first episode of season 4 of the Tull and Back podcast, sponsored by All Zoological, obviously. It's a bit of a feel-good episode, this one, because there's not much to talk about city-wise. There's literally nothing happening. It's quite bizarre compared to other transfer windows. But we're going to be joined by DJ Eddie, who's been a big hit with everybody this season. I think everyone will agree he's brought a massive positive factor to the atmosphere at games, at home games this season. I mean, I'll vouch for him. So the games I've been at, Tom, you've spoke his praises on past episodes already.
Yeah.
Welcome onto the podcast, Eddie. How are you doing?
I'm all right, boys. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. I mean, thank you for speaking my praises and everything. It's, like I say, it's just been the love and support from everyone's just been amazing. And like I say, thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, I bet the last few months for you have just been mad. I bet you, because I assume you had a season pass or a membership before obviously getting the DJing gig. So you've gone kind of now from a fan to providing entertainment at Hull City, which I think, I mean, I can speak for myself. If you're involved with the club you support in any way, shape or form on a match day, it must just be absolutely crazy. Just talk us through what it's like to just DJing in front of all your fans.
Blooming heck. Like, I mean, literally it started off as a standing gig as well, which was the maddest thing. Like, obviously you guys will have seen it, the Burnley game when Ben pulled out. I just put a tweet out saying this screams like a DJ set by yours truly. And obviously as a lad who sits in N4, like, it's great to just be in and amongst the atmosphere. Like, obviously I know Tom through like going to away games and going to home games as well, and just like playing these like tunes in front of everyone and like seeing everyone just so happy, and even seeing West Upper dancing, it's just the maddest feeling in the world. Like, everyone knows that, like, if you see West Upper dancing, you must be doing something right. And yeah, it's gone from, like, obviously, like I've said in a lot of like things, like on my tweets and stuff, like walking into the MKM stadium at the age of 6. And I know obviously you're not going to walk into a stadium and think at the age of 6, I'm going to DJ one day. Like, I mean, 6 years ago, I'd only just started DJing, and just that feeling of getting that phone call and saying, oh, would you like to do it? And especially at a Yorkshire Derby as well, and there's going to be 24,000 people there. It was just the maddest feeling. And yeah, obviously it was raining and stuff, but the weather really didn't determine everyone's mood in the stadium at that time. And obviously I got to do the 3 games prior to that, and I post that, and it was just the amount of love and seeing everyone like so happy in the stadium. It was just the best feeling in the world, and I loved it every minute of it. So it was class.
Yeah, great. I mean, I was at the Rotherham game, and I remember just saying, like, because I think earlier on in the season there was quite a few people that were saying that, you know, pre-match atmosphere probably needed improvement. And there were suggestions maybe as to how to do that, you know, like the pre-match music and stuff like that needed changing, things like that. Because we did used to have a decent pre-match atmosphere in years gone by, but we've kind of lost it. I think since COVID as well, it's been a bit difficult. So I'll ask you, Tom. So you go to every home game, don't you? When you can. Just talk us through fans' perspective. Just tell Eddie what he's been giving us and how good he's been.
I just think, like, before, obviously, Eddie arrived, I think, devoid of, like, good music before the games, I think, you know, you're getting, no disrespect to the local bands, but sometimes you don't know the songs and stuff like that. But obviously, when Eddie's playing these songs, you recognise them, you know them, and, you know, they're really good and that. So I think, in terms of the atmosphere, like, it's so much better now since Eddie's obviously came in, and, you know, it's, you can see it gets the players rocking, especially like North Stand, like he says, even West Stand up are on their feet and that. So it's like, it's really good. So I think we need to carry that on into next season.
Yeah, definitely. And I think everyone would like to see you back next season. Have you actually had any backlash to doing this then? Because I can't imagine there's any negative, but is there?
There was that tweet, wasn't
there?
Like,
yeah, I mean, there was, obviously last week, everyone saw that I had to put a statement out, like saying like, oh yeah, sorry for, because obviously in the supporters meeting, there was a lot of backlash on Twitter anyway regarding this meeting and things like that. And obviously, as a person who's always so focused on making everyone else happy, like you want to read what people are saying about you. And a few of the comments, yeah, they did get to me, and a few of the tweets, they were just a bit like it drags you down, and that's why I put something out. And and the amount of love and support that I got from that was amazing. But throughout the like from that Rotherham game, there was no hate whatsoever. And then it got to I think it might have been Swansea or Millwall at home. I think it was Millwall. And then there was a few things that came up, and obviously you take it to heart and stuff. And I was speaking to my mates and stuff like that, and they sort of made light out of it. And they were like, oh, Eddie, lad, don't worry. It's like, you're famous now, you've got haters. And I was like, lad, just shut up. Like, just brushed it off. But yeah, they're all getting a bit of backlash here and there, but at the end of the day, you've just got to take the negative stuff and turn it into positives. And with that negative stuff that I had last season, I always made sure that I changed it. And obviously, the last home game of the season, for me, the atmosphere that I created, the amount of love, I didn't get one bit of backlash or anything, it was just unbelievable. I loved every minute of it. And I just want to say thank you to, like, everyone, literally. Even there's a guy, I think he was called Yuri, I think. He was typing, I think I had to Google Translate, he was typing it in Japanese, and I was like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Like, it's just the love and support, like, barring the backlash, it's just been insane, and I just want to thank everyone so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy, I mean, to forget that when you put yourself in a position where you're massively more in sort of the public eye, or, you know, probably gaining more social media presence and more attention from people both on the streets and online. And I've never actually seen a negative comment regarding you. I was quite surprised that you said there was. I think I can talk for all City fans when you just it happens. It happens. We get our fair share, and we just do this. You know what I mean? So DJing in front of thousands of people. I mean, for every three negative comments you find, you could probably have about 7,000 positive. So, you know what I mean? Just ignore it. Keep going. And like I said, I mean, we've got a lot of love coming in from the comments. We've had one from Enchi up there saying about the atmosphere. Lee Walker, who's
there, he is. There he is.
He's here, loves it. Graham Dukes today on Facebook as well.
Hey, Graham, don't you worry.
But I mean, the thing is when you've got a good pre-match atmosphere, it adds to the actual game atmosphere. I found when you don't want a dead pre-match and then get into a game, and then like the Rotherham one, for example, which ended up being a 0-0, that'd have just been drab from the first minute to the last. But going into the first half, just the whole feel-good factor continues. And I think it's good, because it's the off-the-pitch positivity then translates to things like this, where you're doing that. And it just, everything about the club just feels amazing at the minute. It's why it's mad that I see anything negative about Hull City lately, which obviously Nathaniel, because he's not on the episode, had to come in and add his two pence. There'll be no Ryan Longman content in this episode, Nathaniel, so you can go if you want.
He'll believe in after that.
Yeah. I'll add Gordon in now because there's a bit of a time difference between us and Gordon. He's in actually in America, so we'll welcome Gordon onto stream. He was a bit late today. We'll forgive your lack of punctuality.
Tardiness there. Sorry guys. Honored to be on, and again, apologize for the time difference there. So
no, don't worry about it. Gordon actually hosts Gordon's been a watcher for a while of the podcast, and I never even realized. He hosts his own podcast, Jets Therapy, I believe it's called.
Yep, Jets Therapy on YouTube. We don't do live anything like that. We're still kind of growing into it. We've just kind of, you know, bit year by year added to it a little bit and just trying to, you know, build it as we can a little bit organically. And we don't take ourselves too seriously. So it's just for fun. So.
Yeah, well, I think that's the best way into it. And if you do it because you enjoy it.
That's right.
When you stop enjoying it, there's no point, is there? Gordon, so we'll come to you whilst you're there. I imagine have you actually managed to get to any games this season? Can't imagine.
Get to? No, not yet. My one of my good friends actually just flew over, was at the Arsenal game for the last game of the season. He was hoping they were going to win the league. He's a big Gunners fan, but he's kind of taken me on my, what we call soccer over here, but football journey in a way. He kind of started me out in 2014, 2015. But now I want to get over to a game. I got my four-year-old, he turns four in August. So hoping next season or the season after that to fly over with him and kind of give him some exposure to the game. So,
yeah.
I wonder if your friend who's the Arsenal fan got you into football after the FA Cup final when we lost.
Yeah. So it was, we were watching that game and, you know, I kind of was watching with him that season. I announced sports in college for a while and kind of grew towards soccer or football. I'll say football. Sorry. So grew towards football and, yeah. you know, lived with him for a while and he got me into it. And I ended up liking Hull and he was an Arsenal fan. And it was kind of, as they say, history from there on. So
a bit different. Yeah, I mean, to be fair.
Yes.
When we was in the Premier League, I think Arsenal were one of those teams that really wanted to beat us because of the win at the Emirates. And then obviously from that, we sort of became a thorn in their side, despite not actually winning again against Arsenal. Wenger didn't like us. Definitely didn't like us at all. Eddie, so I'll ask you then. So we'll talk about the season because obviously everyone's heard our podcast panel members' thoughts on the season. Let's hear from some other people. So what was your thoughts on the season as a whole? Did we sort of meet expectation? Or
so for me, I think everyone this season had that expectation of like, oh yeah, we've got a new owner, we've brought all these new players, and we're gonna get promoted, this, that, and the other. And for me personally, it's like what I think is going to happen next season. I'm just happy with the progress we're making. Like, obviously, I know we were struggling at times and everyone was thinking, oh, no, we're going to go down, this, that, and the other. But for me, I just think with how we performed in certain games, and I saw some ridiculous stat that when Rossini came in, we only lost a handful of times. I can't remember the number off the top
six
of my head.
We lost six of the last 29.
We kept 13 clean sheets as well. So.
That's what I mean. And for me, obviously, I feel like it's just a stepping stone. Like, I'm not too fussed with where we've finished because I know that we're building on good things personally, and if the lads get behind the boys, then that's the main thing for me. Just keep progressing what we're doing, and I genuinely think, I mean, it might get a few nibbles here, but I would be happy with promotion, yes, but I'd be even more happy if we get top 10 because I mean, look at some of the teams that have come down and look at some of the teams that didn't quite get promotion this year. It's just another a stepping stone for what we could achieve the year after. That's what I think personally, and we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, I was very chuffed with this year for the club.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't think anybody realistically got carried away last summer. I know we made a lot of signings, a lot of positivity, obviously, because we weren't used to actually signing players, especially for money. But I don't actually think that there's many City fans that would genuinely sit here and say we're going to get promoted next season. I think the realistic aim surely has to be at least battling in the top half of the table for the playoffs. So is that something you'd agree with, Gordon?
Yeah, I mean, last year, kind of, you know, coming into this season, like Eddie said, I mean, we bought, and like you said, we bought a lot of players, and that hadn't been our reality in quite a while under the Alum. So, you know, obviously Akun came in, things turned around, and we bought a bunch of international players. The optimism was there, it was feeling good. But yeah, I think, you know, this season was the tale of two seasons, right? With under Shota, and then I think we won some games we probably shouldn't have won. And then obviously he got out, and then Dawson came in, and then Rosie, and we've been a different team under Rosie. He's shored up the defense. But yeah, I think it's easy to say, like, yeah, let's go again for top of the table. But I think a lot depends on who we bring in. And then, yeah, I think I would say top 10 would be great, would be a great finish. Obviously fighting for a playoff place. So.
Yeah, so I think with what you're saying there is right, like with the new owner coming in, we've sort of changed our recruitment strategy. We're signing, you know, much more reputable players like John Michael Seri. It came on my Facebook memories like 2 years ago. We signed like George Moncaire and Randall Williams sort of players that are probably League One, League Two level. And now we're signing players like John Michael Seri. You know, obviously he got promoted with Fulham, Cyrus Christie as well. You've got Estepinian who scored 15 goals in the Premier League. So I think, you know, if we can carry on recruiting these sort of quality players, and there's no reason why we can't finish in the top 10. But, you know, the quality that's coming down in Leicester, Southampton, Leeds, it's going to be a struggle. But, you know, it's very rare that the three teams that come down go straight back up. So you expect one of them, maybe Leeds, to maybe finish outside the playoffs or struggle a little bit. But, you know, we'll have to see what the transfer window brings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, isn't it? I was talking with Eddie before, obviously we went live. It's hard to really make a judgment on us because we've not signed anybody yet, and it's very important that we have to bring some players in. Because as everyone's just said there, defensively we sort of found that foundation where we were pretty much solid. The midfield to me is sorted as well. There's not much improvement to that other than maybe a bit of depth. But we were just one goal short in so many games, like the injuries, the inconsistency to the starting 11. And I agree with that comment there from Enshep that this championship's even harder than last season, which was incredibly close at both ends of the table. So, I mean, you've got obviously, like Tom said, the three relegated teams that are coming down, then you've got the teams that missed out on promotion, you've got your Borough, your Coventry. Your Blackburn, Millwall,
Sunderland, is all a bit better.
Norwich, Watford, you know, and we expect to be up there. It's just,
West Brom.
You know, West Brom as well, they're probably going to throw everything at it this season because I believe that they've got to pay a big loan back in the summer. So they could be in trouble if they don't get promoted. So they'll probably go hell for leather this season with Corbran if they keep hold of him and he don't go to Leeds, that is. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting season, and I think it's a very important transfer window because obviously we need to recruit, as Rosini has said many times, players that are reliable, robust, that can stay fit. So I'll come to you first then, Eddie. So player transfer wise, it's been very quiet compared to the last two transfer windows. I don't actually think I've seen a solid transfer rumour barring Sonny Bradley that, you know, actually looks like it could be credible. A lot of it's just, you know, throw our name in with seven other championship clubs chasing the same player. But realistically, where, you know, is there any players that we need to sign? What area do we need to strengthen first, do you think?
Well, I know this will probably get a few nibbles as well, but I would say just for that squad depth and probably with a few outgoings, I'd definitely say bring Sonny Bradley in, 100%, obviously. He captained a few of the games this season for Luton, and I think obviously everyone's going to be like, "Oh, this, that, and the other." But he's a Hull lad. Bring him back. Like, his family's here. He wouldn't want to come back if it didn't mean something to him. In my eyes, that's what I personally think. And he's a good player. And obviously, you've got to get Kyle Dalla back. Single-handedly helped us this season. And obviously, you want to try and get some more depth in the midfield and. For me, probably bring in maybe one or two strikers who are proven in the league, and that for me, that's what I'd say. That, and that's it for me.
Yeah, I think with the Sonny Bradley transfer, I see it from the other end as well. Like, I know we signed Tobias Figueiredo last season, who played a lot for Forest, 28 times, and obviously got promoted. Similar Sonny Bradley for Luton, but I think with the injury record he's had past two seasons, the fact he's 31 as well, I know he brings that experience, but I think it could be a risk a little bit. I mean, there's a reason why Luton are letting him go, but yeah, the fact obviously he's a whole lad helps, but yeah, I think there's better out there, but on a free transfer, I guess it wouldn't be too bad. But I think with how Figueiredo did, I think you have to be looking at someone a bit better, I reckon. But
yeah,
the fact our defence is already good, it's like more we need depth really, because we've got three, obviously Greaves, Jones, and McLaughlin, all young centre backs. So I think you've added to that maybe a bit more experience and we're looking good.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with Bradley is. Is at the moment, especially on Twitter, it's a very one way or the other opinion with him. Personally, I wouldn't be bothered if we did or didn't sign him. I just find that the transfer would be quite bizarre based on the fact that I can imagine Bradley is now at an age where he's going to be trying to play as many games as he possibly can before he has to start winding down his career. And I don't think he's going to come here and start games unless he's a replacement for someone say Jacob Greaves. You know, Figueiredo we've made available for transfer. So, I mean, but he hasn't really had a look in since Rosini has come in. You've got promising players like Andy Smith and Alfie Taylor that could have come into the fray. But like Tom said, you know, it's another two young defenders without much experience, definitely no experience at this level. But Andy Smith's had two very good seasons at Grimsby. Gordon, what Sonny Bradley transfer, do you think it's something that Are you for or against? What's your thoughts on it?
I'm okay with it if it's a kind of like Tom said, like a replacement for Figs. I think Figs was Figs didn't really help the team this year. He did, you know, hurt the team more so. But like you said, I do feel like he's at the stage in his career. He's gonna want to play some games, and I don't see where he fits in. I mean, I think the emergence of Maka this season under Rosie was, you know, what everybody's been calling for. Well, we didn't understand why he wasn't playing as much. And then obviously Alfie Jones and him have kind of built up a good partnership. And then, you know, kind of like you said, maybe he's also a replacement for Greaves, because I think Rosie played Greaves out on the left a little bit more than probably he would have wanted. So I don't know if he's maybe looking for a way out or he thinks he wants to battle for that center spot. I'm not really sure, but I don't mind it. I do think it's kind of a head scratcher in a way, because I mean, it's cool to bring him back. He came through the whole ranks, and so he's one of those players, like ex-players that, oh, you know, because I think there was a lot of talk about ex-players coming back this year, and he was one, and yeah. Again, a bit divisive, but I think, again, if he can contribute to the team, he brings a lot of experience. Like you said, he was a captain, so I don't hate it. I'm not hating this move, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's positives to it, in, like you say, in the sense that he could be an experienced head to help, you know, develop Alfie Jones and Sean McLaughlin, Jacob Greaves' career a bit more. I just don't think he's going to come here and play that many games if that's what is the intention. We'll just have to wait and see. Obviously, like we say, Rosini is, I think, in terms of transfers, barring injuries, most of the transfers, except for Ebi Way, were successes, weren't they? So,
yeah.
You know, we'll keep an eye on that one, see what happens with that. But staying on the topic of Jacob Greaves then, so Eddie, Jacob Greaves, do we sell him? Or do you want to keep him? Do you think he's expect? Because the problem is, Sean McLaughlin's form is going to keep him out of the back four. But I don't think he's going to want to play a left back. So if we get a handsome fee, would you be like, yeah, fair play?
Do you know what? I mean, for me, obviously I've known him since secondary school. So obviously I've probably told Tom before, like I went to secondary school with him. And I mean, like I say, it's another Hull lad. Like he's a very, very, very good player. Like you can't deny it. He's a very good player. And for me, I think it'd be a silly move for Hull to sell him to another Championship team. For me, and obviously I think the time's right where if we get a good fee for him, and a Premier League club does come in, don't get me wrong, let him go. It's every young lad's dream to go and play in the Premier League. For me, that's what I think anyway. And if a good fee comes in, I don't see why we shouldn't sell him. Obviously, it'd be gutting to see him go, like it was Keane, like it was Jared. But it's one of them. If you've asked that, if we get a good fee for him, I can't see why we shouldn't let him go. But think about it wisely. Don't let him go to another Championship club.
I think it's his development as well. Like he's 22 now. I think Bowen had three seasons in the Championship before he moved to West Ham. I think I'd like to give him another season, see how it progresses. You're always going to get injuries in football as well, so you want, it's great that we've got someone like Greaves on the bench. Like, the fact how quality he is, you know, he's a ball playing defender. You know, those are lucrative in this market, like, especially English as well, left footed. So I think we'd be silly to let him go unless it's for close to a double figure fee, like 9-10 million to a Premier League club. But I think Premier League clubs are probably seeing him, thinking that he's not in the team right now, he's being kept out, so maybe they've warned away from him. But they obviously know what quality he's got, and you know, I'd like to keep him because I think he's blossomed as well in that in the left back role. So it's good that he can play both positions. I think it, you know, the fact that he can play left back means we probably need one left back in, you know, and then he can play as backup as well. So to that left back, and then obviously for challenge for the centre back role. So yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, Elder's out this season, right? Elder, we're not re-signing him, so.
Yeah, he's been released. Yeah,
he's been released. So
we need him back. So.
We obviously, I was going to say we don't have any left backs. We've got Brandon Fleming, but I don't think Rosini fancies Fleming. And realistically, in his career, he's not actually played that many games, and he's had problems with injuries too. So and didn't really make an impact at Oxford in League One. So, which is quite bizarre because he was one of our best players and. Towards the end of the season before under Avalanche.
He's never kicked. He's like he's turning 24 this year, and he's not really played a lot of senior football. So that's quite worrying, like, from him. I think that the fact he's had them injuries so early on in his career sort of stagnated his development. Because, like you say, when he did play, you know, he was probably one of our best crosses of a ball. Like, you got him in that left back role, sort of pushing forward. He always put a good cross in. He's good in 1v1s. You know, he's hard to beat. So I think, you know, say if someone did come in for him, then we'd be letting him go. Because I just don't think he's cutting it at this level now. And, you know, since we've sort of been signing better quality players, he's not really fitting in anymore. So, you know, it'd be sad to see him go, but I think it's the right move.
Yeah, right. Ryan Manning's been mentioned a lot, but I just think he's going to be one of those players that probably goes to a club that was...
Would be a statement, though.
Would be
a statement if we managed to get him, but I think... Leeds are in, or someone that's come down, because, you know, maybe somewhere closest to Swansea that it goes, like, I think, you know, someone better like that, and yeah, they're likely to get him.
Phone just felt, sorry. I mean, with Manning, he was a really good player, and he's going to probably go to a club, I think, that's challenging already for promotion. Well, was last season, obviously nobody's challenging yet this season, we're not kicked off, but I just think that he might be beyond our reach at the minute. Like I said, it's so hard to speculate on signings at the minute because there's just nothing coming out from anywhere. I actually think that's kind of a good thing because I think how loud we were last time.
It was giving away a lot last season, like in terms of who we're signing. That probably didn't help us in terms of negotiating a deal because then clubs know how much we've got to spend. And whereas now it seems a bit more private, maybe Tan and Adjan have sort of learnt from the mistakes last season in terms of who we signed. Like, we signed a lot of players without looking into the injury history and their history itself. Like, and we also signed a lot of players that were sort of out of favour with the clubs and took a chance on them, and it's not really paid off. Like, you know, we signed that Salah Ulad, who obviously sustained a bad injury. Then Traore, he got injured straight away, who's obviously turned out to be a class player since he's come in. And then, you know, obviously, like, Toufan was out of favour at Watford and abroad as well. But obviously, he's turned out, since obviously Rossini took over, he's sort of gone from strength to strength, in my opinion. Like, he's the one that's getting goals from midfield, and that's what we need more of. But yeah, I think we need to sort of, like Graham said earlier in the comments, we need to sort of take less risks with our signings, sort of sign players that are more proven, and sort of build a core, really, like a core that can sort of challenge near the top.
Yeah. Taking those comments into consideration there, Gordon, do you think that Rosini is going to take a more domestic approach to players that we signed this summer? Do you think he's going to look for, you know, players that have been in this league, know this league, rather than the more international approach we took last summer? Do you think he's going to look for someone that's got that experience to try and lead us through any bad stage we have?
I don't know. I mean, I think last season or the beginning of this season, we saw Akun really kind of take over. And I guess Tan really took over, kind of like you said. I mean, you know, it seemed like he recruited players that he knew in Pelkis, in Ozan. I'm sure he knew, you know, obviously he had the stint at Watford, but, Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see some more domestic players come in. I know, you know, I know we were in for Conrad, was a U.S. player. I'm curious to see if we go back for him. But I know we kind of, I don't know if we need a winger right now.
You know
now.
A lot about him? Because obviously we'd, you know.
I know a decent amount about him. I know he's kind of, I think he's, you know, he's at, was he at Barcelona right now? Or,
yeah,
or
Barcelona B. Was
Barcelona. Or he's on loan. And I think he needs a fresh start. And I thought Hull would have been a great fresh start for him. You know what I mean? To kind of kickstart his re-kickstart his career. But to kind of go back to what you said, Ann, I think we will kind of look for some more proven players at this level. Because like you said, Ozan was touch and go in the beginning of the year, but I think he grew into probably one of our best signings. And obviously Sarri, I think, was our top one this year, but you kind of look at someone like Sarri and say, that's exactly where you should be playing. And that's how you should be playing. But Ozan, like you said, scoring goals from the midfield, I think he, you know, box to box was back and forth running back. So I thought he was obviously one of my top players of the year. Took a little while. Yeah.
When you speak about Conrad as well, I think that is the sort of player we need, that sort of direct winger. I know we signed Cynic, that didn't pay off, but it was Kamal Grzycki's birthday today, and that made me miss like what player he was. Like he was sort of as soon as he got the ball, he got excited. Like, you know what I mean? Made stuff happen. You know, it was quality in the final third, and that's the sort of player that we need. I think, you know, this too many times this season we've had injuries, and we've had the likes of Ryan Longman having to play, and you know, players out of position as well. Longman hasn't really cut it. You know, he's had a lot of game time this season, but not really done much. You know, sorry, Nathaniel, but we need to be improving on that. You know, we need to be signing sort of someone that's good out wide, like that can sort of, you know, you saw like Burnley sign like Nathan Teller on loan, like a player like that just sort of wows, gets supporters off feet, really.
Do you think Aliar could be that type of player?
Definitely. Yeah. And also congratulations to Aliar, whose wedding it is today. So congratulations to him.
Oh.
I didn't even think Aliar, like, Tom will know, the amount of times that I praise Aliar literally is, like, for me, what at his age as well, I mean, he's 22, and I think, is he 22 or 21?
He's turning 22, I think, yeah, in like September. Yeah,
and he's, for me, he's got such a good, like, future ahead. I think, obviously, we've not seen him at his best this season, and probably maybe not, he was a lot better in his first season with us, but I think next season, obviously, we've seen the pictures of his stories and his social media. I think next season it could be his season. That's just a perspective. But I genuinely think he's got the potential to be the next Kamal Grzycki, the next Jared Bowen. That's what I personally think. But I don't know if you guys
agree. So I think what you're saying there as well, like with the fact you've seen pictures on his story even in the gym already working towards next season, that shows how much he wants it, like how much he wants to cement his place in Serie A as well, like. Already sort of coming back and doing work, like obviously they're probably being away, but they want to get a head start on everyone else, and that shows to me that, like, you know, that's that elite level sort of mentality, like never switching off and sort of, you know, honing your craft. And I think what you said about Aliar is true. I think I really like him as a player in terms of not just his quality, but I think he always tracks back, he always puts in 110%. So I think if he can find that quality in the final third, we could have a gem on our hands, like with the fee we're voting for as well. And he's still only 21, so it's easy to forget.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open them up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
That's the thing, and I think it was at the start of the season he was playing right wing back for a bit.
Left wing back.
He's such a versatile player, and seeing him obviously bag two goals in consecutive games, I genuinely think that we do have a gem on our hands, like you saying. Just let's see what happens next season, eh?
I've backed Aliar when a lot of people have maybe said that he shouldn't even be anywhere near the starting 11 this season. And it's because The difference with Aliar is to players like Lundman, for example, where Lundman had a good spurt with us when he was on loan, and then we've not really seen him recapture that since. Aliar, you see the potential's there. And I think the thing is with Aliar is that he's had such a disruptive start to his Hull City career that we've not seen him play enough games consecutively in a settled 11 as well, that would help him be in an environment where he can properly thrive and learn. I think beginning of this season, he was our best player.
Oh, yeah. That Burnley performance before I got injured,
he
was so good. Like against Preston, with Preston away, our best player. First game of the season at left wing back, our best player. Like, I think in the first four games of the season, standout player. Then he got that injury and that sort of knocked him, I think
it knocked
a young
us.
Player, yeah, it knocked, yeah, that's what it did. But I think hopefully next season he's back to his best. I think you see, I know it's totally different, but you saw like when Man City signed like Grealish and like it took him a season to sort of gel in, and then second season, this season just gone, he's been world class. I think it's obviously not the same level, but I think Ali has a full season now at City. He's shelled in. I think if we can get a settled 11 next season, he could be one of our best players.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if he'd have continued playing last season before, like you say, he got that injury, and conveniently our form also fell off a cliff when he got injured. I just think that, yes, his end product is definitely something he needs to work on, because he seems to do everything right up until that final.
Yeah, the final ball, yeah.
He'll either pass when he should shoot or shoot when he should pass. But that stuff, like you say, he's still young, he will learn. Obviously, I don't think he's going to be a 10 plus goal winger just yet, but he will get there, and that's I think what Eddie was saying. It's a player that for the long term is definitely something that is eventually going to become, you know, a very important player for us. And I think the wing positions is a very interesting topic transfer wise, because I think there is a lack of goals from the wing at the minute, and obviously Harry Vaughan's come in, done very well on the left hand side. Hasn't scored obviously in the few games that he played, but do you think he's still going to have a big part to play in the first team next season, Gordon? Do you think Vaughan's going to be maybe relegated to the bench perhaps because the starting 11 will be fit and new signings, etc.? Or do you think Rosini is going to trust him enough to say, no, you played well in them last few games, so I'm going to reward you with a few starts at the beginning, see if you can continue it?
I hope we see some more of Vaughan. I mean, like you said, he showed a lot of promise coming in, only playing those few games towards the end there. You know, kind of in that same pathway of Bowen and KLP, in that, you know, younger player, bringing him in, getting him through. Obviously, you know, I don't want to compare him to them yet because he's not there. But, I mean, like I said, he had some flashes. So I think it'd be good. I think it'd be good to see him versus Aliar for that left-hand side. Because, I mean, I think those are our two left-side wingers, so.
Yeah, but Ali, I was coming in off the right last season, but I think with him being right-footed, it would be interesting. Like Tom said, beginning of the season when he played left wing-back, he looked very threatening when he cuts inside. And perhaps where it's opposite with Lundman, I think he's better on his natural side, where he's beating players, getting to the byline and crossing it. I think Ali has a bit more of a threat when he's cutting inside and then having the option to shoot, whereas he's trying to get to the byline and then looking for options. I don't think he's that kind of player. I think he wants to score goals, and which is why when he gets to a passing situation, he gets caught in two minds and thinks, yeah, I should probably do that, and then waits too long. But like we say, towards the end of last season, beginning of this season, and then towards the end of this season, we've seen what Aliak can do and where he can go. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. And then Harry Vaughan, it will also be interesting to see what kind of part he plays in the starting 11. Yeah, depending on.
I think with Aliar as well. I think with Aliar, like, he's quite an instinctive player. You saw like the positions he sort of picks up on the field as well. Like, you saw Blackburn away, that chance he had. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but like, you know, we got into the box, did everything right, but the finish let him down. But you saw a goal against Borough as well from the corner. Like, what a goal that was! Like, he's capable. It's just, I think throughout his career, you've never known what his best position is, and that's sort of similar to a lot of our players. Like, you've got Benjamin Setter, what's his best position? Is it behind a striker? Is it striker? Is it left wing? You know, you've got obviously got Tufan as well. What's his best position? Is it off the front as a false nine? Is it central midfielder, like deep, or is it in behind a striker? And it's similar with Aliar as well. Is it right wing, left wing, striker? You know, you don't know the best position, and that's a job that Rossini's got this summer, to sort of find the best positions of these players and sort of build a unit going forward, because we've got our two centre-backs. You know, that's the solid base. We've got our midfielders in Seri and Slater. Probably add another one in there. Maybe Simmons. Obviously, Simmons. We've got Simmons as well. And then we just need to really I think the focus in this window should be just the forward areas.
Yeah, because I think obviously, when, if we're looking at it very simply, it would probably most likely in a City fan wish list, we'd have Darlow in goal and we would have Cyrus on the right. Maka and Jones as your centre-back pairing, then, you know, one of two left-backs that we should probably sign. Your midfield three, I think, sorted in Seri, Traore and Slater. I don't understand why people are dropping Slater in anything that they put on online. The lads just had an amazing season. We'll actually talk about Regan Slater. Eddie, do you think that he is possibly one of the most underrated players in the league? Because I think outside of Hull City, nobody talks about him, which is a good thing, I suppose, because it don't bring unnecessary transfer interest. But in terms of what he brings to the game, I think he's literally just got everything. If you're looking for a midfielder to sign, he defends, he tracks back, he runs his eye out, he can score goals, he creates goals. He leaves everything on the pitch, and I think he's a perfect player for a Rosinia system.
Definitely. I think you watch him on a game that he's always commanding, for a lad at such a young age as well, commanding all these senior players. He's telling them to do this, do that. He's tracking back, he's getting forward, like you're saying. And he needs, like, for me, I think he's in a starting 11. He gets my centre mid pick alongside Seri every week in, week out. And I know it sounds, and like I say, I'm probably getting a few nibbles like after what people are saying online, but I genuinely think he's an all well rounded midfielder. Like he's probably one of the most underrated players in the Championship. That's what I think, anyway. And he just does everything right, and he's just a bit of a legend, really, isn't he? 50 grand, and he's baller. So what more?
Yeah, I think with Slater as well, like, it does the basics right. That's what you want from a midfield. Like, he always does the basic right. Always puts in 110%. Like, he's always, you know, putting himself about as well. He's like, what, 5'7", puts himself about. I think the thing is with City, I think, got two very good technical players there. Like, Slater's the sort of more advanced Seri, but we don't have that sort of commanding midfielder, I'd say, like, that we could do with, maybe off the bench, maybe an older head in there that sort of we can bring on to see our games. Yeah, sort of that sort of player, like, maybe in some game, like games where it's a bit more physical as well. Maybe you could play Slater a bit further forward and then sort of drop in sort of a bigger, sort of more physical presence next to Seri. But yeah, but like you say, Slater, bargain, like, it's been quality. So
7 out of 10, I'd say he's an 8 out of 10 most. I think he's probably had two games where he's been quite poor all season. And I think, didn't he play every game?
Half from one, I think, one or two, that's it. He missed the last game and missed. I think he played 44 or 46.
You can't be a bad player if you picked up two awards at the end of the season as well.
Yeah, I was very surprised he didn't get Rosinia's pick, to be fair. But I think with the appreciation he got from both the fans and the players, Rosinia probably went for somebody else in terms of somebody else who deserved it too. In Jones, not to take that away from him, because he was fantastic. I think you could have picked Slater, Jones, Maka, any of them.
Anyone along the back four. Yeah.
And then, I think Seri was my pick for player of the year, but Slater was a close second for me. But
Seri's an interesting one, because he's still, I from what I see online anyway, it still seems quite Marmite amongst the Hull City fan base. I think it's clear what class he brings and how he can control games and how he seems to be effortless in position. Because for someone who seems quite, I don't know, quite thin, he seems so strong. He knows how to hold on to the ball with a player on his back. But in saying that, he has also lost possession a few times, being a bit maybe slow to get rid of the ball or you know, passing the wrong direction kind of thing. What's been your thoughts on Seri this season, Gunn? I know you were positive about him earlier, but do you think as a whole he's been or will be key to what Rosinia wants to do in terms of his play out from the back, possession based style of play?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at him and he's, you know, the term a lot of people use is the conductor, right? Like, he's going to run everything. He's going to be that connection from the back to the front, bringing it forward. And kind of like you said, I think, I don't know, some fans are so still like wishy-washy on him. And I think maybe that's because of his pedigree and his backstory a little bit. Like, we expect him to play at a world-class level every game. And like you said, he has lost possession a few times, made a few silly fouls. And I think that maybe just those mistakes get amplified because of his name. You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of how I look at it. But yeah, I agree. I think he was one of the top players of the season. I honestly had Slater as my player of the season, with Seri very close behind. And I think like Tom and everybody here said, I think that midfield is stacked for next season. I think we're looking pretty good. I agree. Maybe a defensive, like a more defensive midfielder, kind of like that. Like what I thought when we first signed Alfie Jones, I thought he was going to be that central defensive midfielder, but he ended up playing, you know, slotting right into center back. So,
well, he's naturally a sitting midfielder. That's what he was signed to be. He played that role at Gillingham. And I believe he won their player of the year. I'll have to double check that. But he was, that's his natural position. And I think we played him in centre back because of injury.
Yeah.
He seemed to just do okay there. And then we went to a three at the back. His ability on the ball and his height as well as his physicality meant that he sort of qualified to play as that right hand side on the back three under Schotter, and he seemed to do it well, and he's kind of just played there ever since.
It's easy to forget a free transfer as well from Southampton.
Yeah, and there's been a few stories lately about how they were very, very surprised that they even let him go regardless for free. But Southampton apparently really, really rated him, and the fact that he came
better
in
than that Bender, reckon
he? Yeah, definitely.
Better than that Bender, reckon. Still, like Jack Stevens and players like that.
Maybe now, but back then,
back then maybe not. Yeah,
maybe not. I mean, the thing is with Jones is I'm so confident now in his ability as a centre half that I've totally forgot that he was even a midfielder. To be fair, I mean, he played in midfield against QPR and had a bit of a howler, so maybe he's naturally relegated himself now to a centre half. But I mean, nobody played well at that QPR away game. I've got big gripes with that because I travelled to that one midweek London. I was very tired.
I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, I did. I had to drive from Leeds to Hull to get the bus from Hull to London to then get from London to Hull to then drive straight back from Hull to Leeds.
Must have got back at like 3-4.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And we played awful. I was not happy. But that's the joys of following football, isn't it? Right. So I think we've exhausted most things City related at the minute, because there's not much else that we can talk about. What I will do is I'll ask everybody for one realistic signing that you'd like to see in the next week or so, depending on when we do the next episode. I don't know what availability is at the minute off season, but Eddie, what kind of player, what player would you like to see us sign?
There's only one in my eyes, and it's got to be Cal Dahlow, personally. Gets the people singing pre-match as well, so kind of stick with that. So Cal Dahlow for me.
What about you, Tom?
I think Cal Dahlow. It's quite tough, to be fair. Like we've not seen anything really rumor wise, but yeah, Cal Dahlow would be first on my list in terms of goalkeeper. Yeah,
Are you Cal Dahlow as well, Gordon?
I would like Darlow, obviously. Obviously, to kind of pick a little bit different from Eddie and Tom, I'd love to bring Connolly back in. I know there were some chirps about that. I haven't heard much since if that's off or anything, but I'd love to see Connolly come back in. So
I've seen contrasting reports. I think at one point it said that we were going to go back in for him, and then another one came out about 2 days later saying it's unlikely that we're going to go back in for him. I think Connolly is one of those where it doesn't fit the mantra in where Rosini has come out in press conferences and said, I want to sign players that, you know, I can rely on, that aren't going to be injured. They're going to contribute consistently throughout the season. And unfortunately for Connolly, despite how good he looked in the few games he played, he then didn't play again for the rest of the season. And do you take that gamble on the player again to be possibly injured, knowing you've still got the likes of Tete in the squad that's usually injured? You know, you've got a lot of players that have had long-term injuries in the squad at the minute, and because of last season and how frustrating it must have been for Rosini as a manager to see that if the league had started when he took over, we'd have finished 10th. And you think if the amount of draws we had, if you'd have even turned 3 or 4 of those into wins, we're probably in the top 6 race until the final day. So it's one of those transfers.
If you look at our fully fit squad now, you know, it's dumb to say, but I don't think we're that far off. Like, if you look at,
well, you think as well, we've still got that Uriel Celi, don't we? So he's obviously playing the Peruvian league. He comes back in January, and obviously we signed him last January, and then he's gone out on a year long loan. But I think, like, from seeing what I've seen, all these like videos that people are putting on Twitter and stuff, he looks like a baller. So I'm looking forward for him to coming back and see what we can do
for the next Turbo. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. He looks like a good larker, so I'll take him.
To be fair, the YouTube compilation tends to make everybody look good.
Yeah. Nice. We've been there before. Marcus Madison, remember? That's the key. Madison. Hatton Ben Arthur.
Possibly. That would be a good idea for an episode, actually. Who is Hull City's worst transfer since whenever? That would be very
Yannick Sagbo looked good on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Yannick Sagbo.
I didn't mind Sagbo. He won't quite the player expected.
He scored some crucial goals, didn't he?
It wasn't very bad, I suppose. Right, I suppose that's it. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Thanks for Eddie coming on, and I hope you're back next season, because I believe that we're all looking at getting memberships again, me and my family. So I'm hoping that you're part of the pre-match atmosphere next season.
I hope to be. We'll have to wait and see. I'll have to see if there's any discussions going on. But as it stands, I'll be a fan next season.
You'll be at the stadium regardless. Hopefully,
I'll be there regardless. Don't you worry.
Hopefully, in a performing capacity. Keep an eye on his social media. We'll see what happens. cheers for coming on, Gordon. Obviously, hosting your own podcast too. Do you want to tell everybody where you can find it?
Yeah, thank you so much again. Honored to be on here, guys. Pumped. Sorry again about the time change there in the beginning, but so you can find me at Jets Therapy on YouTube. Me and my friend Dan. You can find me at Googie Merck, GoogieMerck on Twitter. But again, keep a lookout. We'll probably be expanding to some social medias and things like that outside of just YouTube. So thanks again, Ant.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for coming on. So head over to his YouTube channel, especially if you're an American football fan. Even if you don't like the Jets, you can probably watch it and give him some hate in his comments. I'm sure he'll appreciate that if it's a few extra subscribers.
That's right.
I don't follow American football myself, but I did subscribe and I've been watching it. I find it entertaining. And obviously, thanks to Tom, who's one of our regulars, for coming on again. We'll be here again for season four. Do you want to give us an update on the website, Tom? Because I believe there's quite an exciting
Literally, we're so close to launch now. So we need to implement all our podcast episodes onto the site. And then we're ready to launch. We've already got a couple of pieces in. Tom Kurtz has done two. He's done one on the importance of Jones and McLaughlin's partnership since Rosie took over, and he's wrote one on Regan Slater. We've got one from Andrew Evans, Irish Tiger. He's written about sort of our hopes for next season. And then Ollie Haas has done a little blog piece about his sort of his time as the contributor at for the Hull City programme. So I think got some pieces ready to go. I'm doing some myself. So we're ready to go. So hopefully this week we'll be... launch, so just keep a lookout on the socials.
Yeah, Tom's going to be obviously leading the website in terms of the content that comes out. And to be fair, I mean, you've seen the video of the team. I believe there's a few more in the chat that haven't necessarily fully pledged that they're going to do it yet. So we're still waiting maybe to add a few more onto that. What we want to do is just provide a website where you can find, obviously, like we say, the podcast episodes, but also blog style entries, match reports, insights to players, youth players.
With the transfer window as well, we're just waiting on news as well. So soon as we hear something set in stone, then we'll be also reporting it, maybe do a little bit stats based piece behind the player. I was gonna do one on sort of looking at Sonny Bradley, how his stats compare to our current centre backs and analysing whether he'd be a good addition. That would sort of settle a little bit. But that's the sort of piece we'll be doing. And obviously when the season starts, we'll be doing match reports, just all different types of content. So if you're interested in writing about City, then get involved.
Absolutely. And there'll be a space as well. If you're a business owner, if you want to have yourself on the advertising page, on the sponsors page, get in touch, because we can sort out getting you on there. We like to promote local businesses if we can, obviously being a Hull-based podcast. If you've got not a massive corporate, if you've got your own small business and you want to try and reach more people and use our platform to do so, then like you say, get in touch. And if, like Tom said, if you're an aspiring writer or you just want to give yourself something to do, if you ever fancied writing a blog entry or something like that, get in touch and we'll try and get you on for that. We're just giving people the platform to do it for free, for fun, and providing content for City fans, because I think there's not really a decent sort of collection website at the minute where you can get that kind of content. So we're just trying to provide that now and try and fill a void.
Yeah, especially the academy as well. Obviously the Hull City website, there's a bit on it, there's match reports, but there's not a great deal in terms of player insight. We want to know that the best and up and coming players, and hopefully we can sort of provide that. Obviously Harry Vaughan sort of come through the ranks recently. There's Alfie Taylor's feature on the bench, so we'll want to be sort of focused on sort of players, you know, I think old Grandpa Joe said he was going to focus on the academy side, like, because he goes to the game, so hopefully we'll get some match reports from him, if we're allowed, and then post them on the site.
Yeah, because it's nice, because people are always interested in, like we said, potentially the next Keane Lewis Paul, Jarrod Bowen, that player that's coming up for the youth academy, and we've got a very good youth academy, and I think that's been one of the biggest criticisms this season, is the coverage of the youth side probably hasn't merited how good the academy is, and it deserves more attention. So we're going to try and give that attention some of that. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for the website. So hopefully that's live in the next couple of days at least, and then we'll get that on socials, like we say, and you can have a pop and have a look and have a read of some of the good credible content, because that's a very good team of writers that we've got, and thanks to Tom for leading it and sorting it out and everything like that. And like I say, thanks to the guests that have come on. Obviously this episode was sponsored by Old Zoological, so we very thankful for their support again for this season. Jimmy Chew over there, so get yourselves over there on match day and every other day of the week if you can, if you enjoy a beer or two after work. And then we are obviously still part of Goals TV as well. Is Goals TV something you're aware of, Gordon, obviously being an American fan?
Yeah, you sent that to me a little while back and signed up. It's got some great content on there. It's awesome to kind of see so many content creators together in one spot. So it's kind of, you know.
Because I feel like the football in America is starting to grow, and that's what Goals TV is all about. It's providing that platform for content creators like ourselves to talk football, especially the English Football League, because it's just got so much attention on it, and just grow the sport over in America. And like we say, if you use code THAB, all capitals, obviously for to Hull and Back, on the website and sign up, you support us as creators on that website, as well as growing them and growing the sport in America. So it's completely free to do it. You don't have to. The option is there to do so. So do if you can. Thanks everyone for joining us. Thanks for watching us. Keep your eyes peeled for the next episode. And we will see you possibly next week. Just keep an eye out for the socials when we decide to do something. It's quite hard with City. So we'll just see what we can come up with. But thanks everybody, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks again.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.